Sheffield Live, made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends.
Future Sounds.
Hi, this is Olga Marshall and you're listening to Spirit of the Wapentake.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
All right, listen up, you rockers. You are currently experiencing the legendary Spirit of the Wapentake. And speaking of legends, now a word from one of the living legends of rock, Jack Black. It doesn't matter if it is...
Yeah, welcome to Sheffield Live. It's Friday, the 8th of November. This day will only come today, and you'll never see this date again. I can guarantee you that. Yeah, I just want to say respect to the two soldiers who don't present G, don't present CV, don't present. Let's just say that they're currently on international duty. Yep. And hopefully they'll be back with us next week. In the background, you can hear the nice tunes of Stone Love. It's just a mixture. Hope you're going to enjoy the ride. And if this is your first time, tell a friend and come again to Sweet Talking Sport. Now, without further ado, I hope nobody else is listening. But if you are, I beg you, please keep this show to yourself. I'm going to start with a bit of snooker, just for a change. Like we say, it's a Sweet Talking Sport. And I like to dip in and out of all kind of sports, whether it's rugby, basketball. And it's like what it says on the tin, Sweet Talking Sport. Probably Yorkshire One's best sports radio talk show you'll ever hear. You understand? John Higgins, being in the news, been cussing some bad word, yeah, in the quarterfinals of the international championships in Nanjing, which obviously is in China, yeah. I suppose he wasn't swearing in Chinese, but you know, he's been in let's say he's been in a spot of bother, yeah. He's got something in the water right there, surely. Because John is not that type of guy to behave like that. And it was all about a deciding frame what was pushed back several hours. The game took a long time. But, I mean, bearing in mind China, what is it in China now? It's probably, what, about nearly five past... two early hours of the morning, because they're China, I think they're about 8 hours in front. So yeah, Higgins was getting a bit disgruntled, and he's getting a bit agitated also as well. Before he you know, started to kind of like use offensive language, which, you know what, we don't tolerate that on this show. And you know, obviously we're not going to be using it today, but some people in the past would have heard this noise, and that's just like saying orders. Maybe they need to have one of them in snooker. Maybe Higgins needs a lesson, a sort of like behavioral agreement or some kind of contract or something. And angry John Higgins lost to Chris Wakelin in the quarterfinals of the international championships in Nanjing. Like I said, that's in China, after the deciding frame was pushed back a few hours. Yeah? With the best of 11 frames contest levelled at 5 apiece, the referee ruled the afternoon session had concluded. Therefore, disgusted four-time world champion Higgins was gestured and appeared to swear before leaving the table. Goodness gracious me, John Higgins, you naughty man. Yeah? When the players finally returned after the evening session had taken place, 32-year-old Wakelin break of 62 secured a 6-5 victory over Higgins, his third straight win over the former world champion in China. Like I said, the defeat for Higgins, 49, means the Scottish man fails to qualify for the Champions of Champions event in Bolton next week, having defeated Sean Murphy and Mark Williams in the previous two rounds. Wakelin will face China's Guo Gong in the semi-finals after he beat Wales' Jack Page 6-4. So Higgins is out. And like I said, you know, in football and stuff, if you're cussing and the referee manages to hear you, you know, you're going to get a yellow card. If it's directed at the referee, that yellow card could be upgraded to a red. And do you know what? You know, how can you have a guy like that, Higgins, you know, playing, you know, to in the quarterfinals? It says that it is appeared, you know, or gestured that he was swearing. So obviously, you know, there's no smoke without fire. Maybe something like VAR should be introduced to that, you know, if it's not clear and obvious, you know. Get the panel on it. And if he has swore, then he needs to be penalised for that. You know, it shouldn't go unnoticed. That's what I'm saying. You listen to Sweet Talking Sport. It's Friday, the 8th of November. I'm holding the fort on my own. The two soldiers, G and CV, currently on international duty. So hopefully they'll be back in the studio next week. Another thing I want to sort of like dip in, rugby, international. England face Australia tomorrow at Twickenham. England favourites for the win. This will be the first time the teams have met since 2022, when Eddie Jones, who was in charge of the England side, who led his team to a 2-1 series win over the Aussies. Now, it's not in particular that game I want to discuss. I want to talk about Eddie Jones, yeah, the former England boss. Now, Eddie Jones has been criticised heavily for his style. That's his coaching style, not his dress style, I'm referring to. Now, Eddie Jones is known to be a bit abrasive, yeah? Let's just say, you know, if we break down that word, abrasive, showing little concern or feelings for others. Harsh and arrogant, yeah? Now, some people say that, well, surely somebody shouldn't be in charge of the England national side, or even coaching for that matter. Let's strip it down further, yeah? Let's take it a step deeper. You know, so I'm talking about Eddie Jones now, okay? So somebody who comes across as abrasive, not saying as a man, I don't know him as a man, it's just what I'm picking up in the socials, yeah? High standards. This is what Eddie Jones is known for, yeah? For pushing people to the limit, yeah? A bit like, say, the Russian and you know, the Russian Olympics, you know, or people from China. They kind of like look at the best, yeah, and they push them even more so that they become better than the rest, yeah, or better than the best, whichever way that you want to drop it, okay? So it's known that Eddie Jones's environments was tensed, and maybe some of them people felt intimidated by, you know, his persona and his body language, yeah? Afraid for talk up, you could say, yeah? Well, let's just say if the Three Musketeers were there, if G and CV and I was a part of that unit, do you think they would be afraid to talk up when we're bussing and spitting bars on the mic like this? Friday in, Friday out, yeah? No, sir. No go like that, yeah? So, high staff turnover, because he pushed people hard. Eddie Jones was known to be loyal to players who performed, and then he backed them. So, you know, you either roll up your sleeves and get on with it, or if you're kind of like wanting to ponder and discuss things with him, nah, Eddie's not that type of guy. And do you know something? Before I continue with this, I just want to say that, you know, whoever appointed him, well, I presume that England Rugby International Nation, they have like a board, just like England, and they will kind of like go through the process of appointing players. They'll do their diligence on him. They know that what they was getting, and they got him. So it's almost like, say that if you're a doorman on a nightclub, for example, and you have some bad boy there in at a queue, you let them in, you're going to get the trouble inside. You know what I'm saying, innit? Yeah? So Jones created an environment, you know, a type of environment that he wanted players to be part of, and he wanted to develop the players as well. Jones also takes full responsibilities for his performance on and off the pitch. So let's look at the nation's, what Jones was a part of, shall we? Australia, from 2001 to 2005. Win percentage, not bad, 57.89. Then he had another spell with Australia. That was in 2023. And that was win percentage was 22.2. So once again, that's not a bad stat to have there, is it? When you check it out. Then like we said, England from 2015 to 2022. And this is quite interesting. Win percentage 72.84, which is England's best in the history of their international game. And I'm just going to jump back a little step, because, you know, he's known for his coaching style, a little bit aggressive and stuff. Yeah, likes to push people to the hilt. Yeah. Hence that record. Yeah. Well, that best in history, 72.84%. Eddie Jones took over Japan. He's done them, what, 2012 to 2015. 70%, 70.83 actually. And South Africa, you know, I think they must have saw him coming, really, because the South Africans known Acca as the Springboks. Back in 2007, he was just an advisor. So they thought, do you know what? We ain't going to trust you, yeah? Coaching and kind of like, you know, bringing your kind of like style and attitude and mixing it with our players and stuff. We'll just make you an advisor, yeah? And by the way, they didn't even give him a jacket neither because he wasn't South African. So he didn't have a jacket to wear, yeah? He just had to wear a sweater or a jersey, yeah? Or a cardigan or something like that, yeah? So, I mean, if we're going to go into the coaching styles, right? Yeah, let's dip into this basket, yeah, in our coaching style. So, most effective style obviously depends what's in front of you, yeah? Depends on the situation, yeah? So, you can have a democratic kind of like style, which is decision-making. You're probably looking at your lower end, like your juniors or kids just setting out, and I'll use football or rugby as an example for that matter of fact. This kind of like democratic kind of style is like, you know, it's like a learning environment, yeah? You're learning, you're winning. Winning's not important at that age. Now, people might say, do you know what? Nah, you're talking rubbish. I tell you what, have you coached in an academy set up at them ages, 10, 11s, 12s, yeah? I'm telling you, winning is not important at that age. It's about the enjoyment, it's the learning, you know, can you do this, can you do it this way, you know? Not really about solving problems, really. It's just developing, developing within a team, how to play, how to control the ball, look up and pass, that type of stuff, yeah? Autonomy allows players to have freedom. That kind of dips into the democratic style. Also, you know, you'll get good support from your coach. Yeah, within that kind of like style too, sticking with it. Now, this is what I'd probably call like the Eddie Jones style is like the command. Yeah, you're demanding the best out of ability, and the style is kind of like is aggressive. So this is where, you know, your pros will get it, your adults get it, no matter whether it's professional, no matter whether it's in the community, Sunday League football, you'll get a lot of sort of like coaches, not really, I'd say like, you know, I don't know, no disrespect, let's just say Sunday Imperial League, for example, a local league in Sheffield, you will get like coaches playing out the game. They think it should be played regardless of player ability, and maybe they've never been there themselves before as well. And I think also dominant, which again it rides into that kind of command style, which is going to be like a high technical need, low relationship need. So you're looking at the technical ability of individuals in and out of possession. So, you know, this is probably where you'll get attention to detail also as well. And also, like, if you get like, if we're talking about a dominant kind of style of high technical need, low relationship needs, then the opposite of dominant would be like, so like influencing kind of like style, which, you know, the previous one was high technical. This would be low technical, but the relationship of your players, Sheffield Wednesday coming to mind, actually. We'll come on to that a little bit later. Just couldn't help kind of like putting that in, you know. I suppose it, I would have missed an opportunity to, like, you know, probably having a picnic without a sandwich or something, or no drink, yeah. So it's probably, yeah, like I was saying, influencing style of coaching would be low on technical, but high on relationship. You know, so that probably sums up Eddie Jones. Just sticking with the Australian man. 62-year-old. He led kind of like England to 3 Six Nation championships and 1 Grand Slam since taking over back in 2015, like I said earlier. Yeah. Jones left England, or, you know, you could say that he got sacked, despite having the highest win percentage of any England men's rugby coach, yeah, in the history. We're talking 73%. So I was watching something on a box the other day about Jones, and the former players were a bit brash in how they sort of like was describing Eddie Jones, you know. You know, I heard the sort of like presenter was saying, you know, is Jones a bully? Now, the player, I can't remember his name, but the player answering the question hesitated a little bit, and whether he didn't want to play the game with the presenter to say, you know, well, or the interviewer, you could say, whether he didn't want to play that game and say, well, yeah, he was a bit of a bully. I believe it was on the edge of his tongue. Yeah? So, it's like, what do you want? Do you want somebody who's going to be bullying players around and have the best win percentage in the history of the rugby, international rugby for England? Or do you want to sack this guy because people are afraid of him and going behind his back, you know, little Chinese whispers, you could say, to the board saying, listen, people are leaving left, right and centre. Staff can't hang around. Yeah, you can't have best of both worlds. Maybe they should have said, listen, Eddie, just ease up, no? Pandem mande. Yeah? You've got the best kind of like record ever. Yeah? We've got something big here. But, you know, this is what we've said before on this show about people power, player power. Yeah? They can rip a coach into pieces. Yeah? So, do you know what? You know, there's only one victory in November and a yearly return of only 5 wins in the last 12 tests have created a gloomy atmosphere around the English game. So, this is where I'm saying that, you know, yeah, the players have probably had enough. Like I said, little Chinese whispers running to the board and saying, listen, you know, Eddie's going to lose it. He's going to lose a lot. People won't want to play for him because his style, his attitude, yeah? I've kind of like witnessed that, not as an individual in a team, but on the coaching side, yeah? When I was at Chesterfield FC, under 18s, so you're talking about players going into the first year scholars, yeah? They could play in the first team. When I say first team scholars, yeah, you're talking about your first year professional player. You're on that ladder, yeah? So, and the coach, I know that I've probably talked a little bit about this before, but the coach I was working with he was abrasive. And the Pitney them were kind of a little bit frozen when they was on the ball. They were scared to really show what they was about. And I knew that one day he wouldn't be there through illness or, you know, had an arrangement or whatever. And this day happened when we played played a team down the Midlands, Walsall. Okay, we played them at home. And they battered us about 6-0 or 7-0. I'm not even joking. 6-0 or 7-0. They battered us down at their place. Yeah. Our kids were kind of frozen. They were scared to play. And a little bit of that, I do blame the coach. Yeah. Being abrasive and just too kind of like lippy with them. Okay. So this day came where we were playing Walsall at home. Coach phoned me that morning and said, listen, I can't make it. I thought, yes, my turn, no. So really, I didn't have no fear about running things, right? I've got my style. They say that, you know, every coach has got their style. You can take a little bit from everything and you're learning. And once you get your coaching badges, yeah, you can tailor-make your style to suit yourself, okay? But pinch a little bit from everybody. Yeah, even if somebody's not better than you, it might be a gesture what they make or the way they come across to the kids, yeah, or to the team. It might be a way what they've discussed something, yeah, at half time, or the way that they've addressed somebody. Okay, so you know, fast forward now. Got a team together. In fact, when I went in the changing rooms to tell the players that, you know, this guy wasn't there, I kind of went in and slammed the door. That created a little thought, wow, we've never seen this guy like this before. And I said, listen, this coach ain't here today. You could see they kind of rose up about 6 feet tall, all right? And I said, listen, we're good players or we won't be here, okay? I've never seen them play with a smile on the face. You know, I gave them the kind of spiel, took them out on a pitch. We actually drew that game 1-1. We should have won 2-1, right? The parents was coming up to me afterwards. Yes, I was gloating. Yes, I was loving it. But I just had to play it down, yeah? Like it's just another game, yeah? Took the players back in the change rooms after the final whistle. And I'll tell you what, all I said to them is, yeah, played well today. Well done. Go home, have your dinner, go on your PlayStation, say your Xbox, enjoy the rest of the day, and I'll see you at training next week. Yeah, that's how I dealt with it. Yeah, didn't have to come with no kind of sticking out chest attitude. My persona dealt with it. Yeah, so I'm saying that there is a place for that command style. There is a place when you're demanding a player or you're saying, listen, this is how you need to deal with this. Yeah, there's a place for that. There's a place and a time. But, you know, Eddie Jones, you know, maybe, you know, he's 62. Like I said, maybe he's getting a little bit humble now. But I tell you what, England play Japan soon. Yeah, let's see that game. Okay, and we'll drop it on you also as well. We'll talk about that. 1828, you know, like I said, time kind of, it does fly quick time on this show, so not wasting any more time at all. Boxing, yeah, Tyson, Mike Tyson v. Jake Paul, okay, 15th of November at the Dallas Cowboys Stadium. I think they're looking for... well, they're estimating probably they're going to get a crowd of about 60,000. This stadium, I know, holds about 80,000. Yeah, because I know my American football. I know when G and CV was here, they kind of killed it dead. Yeah, I'm just putting that out there, guys. Just to remind you that I know my American football and know it's not like rugby. Yeah, so all that, Mr. V. Yeah. And also, I remember Bushman also jumped on that bandwagon too. Well, I didn't like that, yeah? But nevertheless, let's kick on with this. Now, is this on November the 5th? Is it just another pantomime, entertainment, slapstick comedy? Or is it going to be the real deal, the hardcore boxing fight, what, you know, the true idols out there want to see? Well, Tyson, 58, and Jake Paul, 27. That tells me it's some little kind of pantomime business. But, you know, this scrap, it's actually going to go on their record, right? It's actually going to be classed as a pro boxing fight. I've seen Tyson train on the box recently. Yeah. Looks a savage. Yeah. But I'm telling you, Jake Paul, all right, listen, we know he's some kind of YouTuber turned professional. Yeah. Tyson, you know, former undisputed heavyweight champion against YouTuber turned pro. Now, Jake Paul turned pro in 2020. And you know what? Half of me says this is just like a pantomime business, Netflix as well. Yeah? So it's not on Boxer or Sky anything. Netflix have picked up this one. God, they're coming in for a bit of con too. Okay? You know, somebody could get hurt in this one. Somebody could get seriously hurt, because let me tell you how I see this, right? I'm gonna go down the pantomime route, yeah, because it is a little slapstick comedy, yeah. But if Jake Paul clarts him on his cheekbone, right, and if that Tyson comes out to play, he will hurt him, yeah. But then the pantomime kind of bit kicks in, because come on, the guy's nearly 60, right, which there's nothing wrong with that, but Jake Paul at nearly 30, well, 27, let's get it right then, okay, because I know there's people out there on you know, listening to the station saying, nah, he's not nearly 60, he's 58, and Jake Paul's 27. You can just hear them kind of people now. So let's put it right, okay. Tyson 58, Jake Paul 27. And like I said, I'm going to go down the pantomime route, yeah? Little bit of entertainment, you know? Call it slapstick or whatever you want to call it. But what I'm saying, if Jake Paul clarts him, Tyson feels it, Tyson will look to rock him, yeah? It's not going to go the distance, this one, yeah? It's just not going to go the distance. Back in the days, Tyson... seek and destroy. He looked to put people out within five rounds. KO, KO, KO after KO. Yeah. If Tyson went, say, over 7-8 rounds, he starts to tire. So Tyson will not look to score your little jab and move. You know, if it's a pantomime scene, it's kind of make me money, kind of make it quick, get in and get out, win or lose. Yeah. It's money in his pocket. And talking about pantomimes, what about that? You know, I said on this show, with the people then, with G and CV, we said, right, Ben will get his license back. Yeah, and people might say, yeah, well, of course he was going to get it back eventually. But I did say the next hearing, yeah, which we've had now, what I've done, Ben's got his license back, because everybody's going to get a fool from this, yeah. Don't forget, Ben's 28. Provisional doping suspension got lifted, yeah? Following a two-year battle with UK anti-dope, known as ACA UCAD, yeah? Ben unbeaten, welterweight, 23 scraps, no losses. You know what this means, don't you? Ben v. Eubanks is back on the card. It's a big payday for everybody, yeah? So what we'll hear, right, in 2025, at a cinema near you, Ben and Eubanks, yeah? We've said it first on Sweet Talking Sport, yeah? Simple as, Ben and Eubanks, yeah? Am I interested in the fight? Yeah, of course I am. Will I watch it? Yeah, of course. But what spoilt it for me is when they've been in Saudi and they've kind of like, you know, pretending to square up in the ring, and Neymar's coming as well, you know. I don't know how much he'll get for that, but there's kind of strong rumours that, you know, the team he's currently playing for, he needs to, after the whistle, if he goes over and waves to the crowd, it's another little kitching, it's payday. So how much would he have got for that? God knows. But, you know, like I said, you know, Ben's got his suspension. It's kind of like withdrawn now. And, you know, Yuk had said, the National Anti-Doping Panel, NADP, was not comfortably satisfied, but that is that the board had proved he is committed to anti-doping rules violation. Ben says that he's been cleared of any wrongdoing. Has he been cleared of any wrongdoing? And always been an advocate for clean sport. Well, all that getting out of your system, eh? Only you know. Yeah? I can remember having a little discussion with a guy saying that, you know, he didn't know what was what he took. And I said, that's rubbish, yeah? Because, you know, as a top-end sport athlete, you'll need to know everything what goes inside, or this will happen, you'll get banned, okay? Enough said. Sunday the 10th, Steel City Derby. You know, the last time these two teams met was back in, what, 2019? It was a boring 0-0 draw at Bramall Lane when Wednesday put the bus behind it, the part of the bus, basically defensive. No attacking threat whatsoever, negative and boring. It was dry, yeah? This is for me, personally, how I think this game's got to go, okay? United will have to take the game to Wednesday. And, you know, I think Wednesday, according to Captain Mo, Wednesday will let the other team have the ball. I think at Bramall Lane they'll have no choice. They'll not go toe-to-toe. You're crazy. They can't handle United if they went toe-to-toe. Listen, I just need to unlock my biases right now, okay? So they're going to come out the window, okay? So, you know, if you're neutral out there, forgive me this once, yeah? Normally, I kind of play the neutral man. But, you know, today comes out the box, okay? So, I think, you know, with United being the most recent of the teams to taste the Premiership, okay, they've got a new squad, which they have, but they've still got high standards as well. And with Chris Wilder and Alan Neil behind there, they know what these local derbies are all about. And I'm sure it's going to be fireworks all over. Sheffield United currently lying second in the Championship, Wednesday 15th. You know, I think they're looking to kind of like consolidate that you know, Championship League status, you could say. Okay, now they can dream of finishing top six, and it is a dream. It's more a kind of reality or formality for Sheffield United. Yes, that's what I said. A formality, reality. Yeah, check that. So, you know, United have got a good defence. Wednesday leaking goals at the moment. United have conceded 7 goals all season, while Wednesday have conceded 24. Sheffield United, the better pass accuracy. Okay, so 83.13%, while Wednesday have got 75.63%. Now, goals scored, you know, United have popped in 18, while Wednesday have banged in 17. The stats suggest that it's a close game. League table position suggests United should deal with them 4-1. Yeah? I'm not sitting on the fence on this one, okay? 4-1. Yeah? Blades will take the game to Sheffield Wednesday. And, you know, again, going to the stats, yeah? They've played 90 games between them. Owls have pipped the Blades on this one. Owls have 130 to Blades 29 and 31 draws. Now, I'm going to talk about the threats what United will have. You've got, you know, watch out for Burrows, left back. He's buzzing, he's on form at the moment, and he's unlucky not to score more goals than what he has, but he's really kind of grown into that kind of like he's made that shirt his. Okay. Raksaki, yeah, on loan from Crystal Palace. Now I believe that Palace will recall him, yeah, and if they do recall him, they'll have to play him, because they can't recall a player and keep him on bench and put him on for 20 minutes. Yeah, if they're recalling him, yeah, they'll have to play him in that starting side. Yeah, and Raksaki's enjoying his time on his birthday, popped in too. So, you know, Wednesday fans, you're going to get a taste of him on Sunday. And the only way you'll get him off the pitch if you kick him off. Yeah. Sousa midfield, playing the best football of his career. His Bramalane career, I could say. Brazilian. And I'll tell you what, this guy can smack them from distance as well. So watch out for one of them rockets from Sousa. We've got a sound keeper at the back, Cooper, coming like a sweeper. And in the modern day football, you know, keepers are asked to play that kind of like role. Yeah? So they need to play with their feet. And Cooper, I reckon, is going to be one of the best keepers United have ever had down there. Now, threats for Sheffield Wednesday. You're gonna have to suffer without the ball for long periods. Now, according to the captain, they'll soak it up. Yeah, like I said, they're gonna have to suffer big time. And within 3 or 4 passes, they'll be in the opposition's half. Listen, I'm telling you, captain, don't you think Wilder and Nil will be aware of that kind of threat? Yeah. But the game, you know, I will take the game to them, yeah. Wednesday could upset the apple cart. They'd have to let United attack the cop in the first half. I had that conversation with the captain earlier on in the week. But, you know, I should have thought that they'd want the fans behind them. Salt out at Bramalane. So that's going to be a big, big game. Can't wait for it myself, and of course I'm going to be there too. Let's go into from the derby. I want to talk about the trouble in Amsterdam. Listen to this anyway, see what you think to this. So in Amsterdam we've had some hit and run tactics, some rabbit punches, some pure skirmishes, probably rolling up newspaper antics and stuff, as trouble erupted on the streets of Amsterdam. The Israeli football supporters got caught up in the violence. Men on scooters, like the Italian job, causing GBH on the Israelis. It all started as fans from the Maccabi Tel Aviv were playing against the Ajax in the Europa League match on you know, on Wednesday. People were hospitalised, yep, overnight. More than 60 arrests prior to the match. The trouble flared up between the Maccabi fans and the pro-Palestine protesters. Maccabi supporters were ambushed the taxi and blaze it up, yeah, set fire to it. Also reports of supporters chanting racist towards Arabs. Now, the Dutch Prime Minister said he was ashamed what happened in Amsterdam, and quite rightly so. Okay, so after all that, well, there was only going to be one winner, weren't there? Now, Ajax, they battered Maccabi 5-0. Goals were draw, bang one in 14 minutes. Taylor after 27. Gots after 39. So it was 3-0 at half time. No way back for Tel Aviv. Brobbery, 61 minutes, made it 4. And then Fitzjim. Yeah? I'm telling you, if you think I'm joking, check it out. Fitzjim on 69 minutes, made it 5-0. And in that Europa League, it's a different system. Again, we also have discussed it on a previous show here. Ajax are currently second in that Europa League, and Tel Aviv 35. There's only 36 teams, so they're second from the bottom. And before we go into the predictions for the weekend, just got a little bit of gossip. We love a little bit of, little bit of gossip every now and then. And this is not new news to me, but three teams have been sniffing around Mbeumo. Yep, that's the Brentford player, currently playing for Brentford. The January transfer window coming up soon. Newcastle, they were disappointed not to pick up a striker in the last transfer window. I think that had something to do behind the scenes. Eddie Howe wasn't too pleased about that. Arsenal, looking for a striker, top end of the pitch. Also Liverpool, also as well. So I do believe that one of these three teams will probably look for Mbeumo. I think Newcastle will be the front runners for that. And Mbeumo is only 25. To me, he looks a lot older than that. Maybe because it's that beard that is sporting. Yeah. So if that got trim off, it'd probably look about early 20s, 22 or something like that. Maybe that's Mbeumo thinking, you know what, people think that I'm kind of older, you know, maybe it gives him a little bit of something else. But a bit about Mbeumo's background, yeah? 2016 to 2018, played for Troyes second side, and then played for Troyes first team 2018 to 2019. 2019, Brentford got him. Listen to this. I mean, I was quite surprised because it's a lot of player for a little money. Believe it or not, Brentford picked him up for 5 million squids. And he's repaid Brentford with... he's got 50 goals or more. And I think when Tony were there, top end of the pitch, it was all about Ivan Tony, yeah? Banging in goals, yeah? But remember, there was a period where Tony got suspended, yeah? You know, William Hill, Paddy Power, yeah? Them kind of places he was in, behind the scenes online and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, he got suspended for a period of time. Even though when his ban was up, yeah, he did come back for Brentford. He was hoping that one of the big giants would come in for him. That didn't happen. So what did he do? You chip to Dubai, don't you? Yeah. And you just fill your pocket up with corn. Yeah. So that's what Tony's done. People say that he's probably you know, forgotten about his England career, but you know, like what we said again on the show, if you're using Tony for 2-3 minutes and that, what's he got to lose? absolutely nothing at all. So I predict, I'm going to stick out my chest here, I predict that Mbeumo, that Newcastle, will splash the cash, and Brentford, they'll obviously, they're going to make their money back three times over, maybe four times over, because 5.8 million, that's nothing. And he's proved his worth. He deserves a big club. Not saying there's nothing wrong with Brentford, because their model has worked absolutely wicked. Yeah. So yeah, let's say that. I'm going to tell you first. Mbeumo goes to Newcastle United. I just can't see him at Liverpool or Arsenal. But Newcastle are desperate for that player, because they need to replace Callum Wilson. Asulu is for the future, is not for now. Sometimes you have plays for now, sometimes you have plays for the future, and he's definitely one for the future. In that in kind of environment there, he will kind of like shine. Okay, 18:51, last 10 minutes of Sweet Talking Sport. If you're kind of tuned in and you're wondering where CV is and G, like I said, you know, they're on international duty and they'll be back next week. Yeah. Premier League. Brighton entertain Man City on Saturday, 5:30 kickoff. You know, Brighton only 2 victories in the last 14 Premiership games against City. I'll tell you a threat for Brighton, Danny Welbeck, 33-year-old. He just needs one more goal, yeah, to level the Premier League record for a Brighton player on 30 goals, yeah. So I'm going to say that Welbeck is deadly at the moment, and he was a free transfer as well. I was hoping that Sheffield United would have snapped him up, actually. But again, you're probably talking wages, probably blew him out of the water. But Welbeck is done really well at Brighton, because don't forget, he started to get a few niggles and stuff, and them niggles at that age, 33, keeps you out of the game a little bit longer. But a fit Danny Welbeck, still deadly. Man City, De Bruyne could be back for City. He did a late stint as a sub on Tuesday in the Champions League defeat. Listen, Championship, I can just see CV now just kind of rolling and say, what you talking about? Championship, just cool yourself here. Yeah? I've corrected myself. Champions League defeat against Sporting Lisbon Tuesday. City are busting, 22 goals in 7 Premier League visits to Brighton. On that record, you've got to go for City, haven't you? But, you know, a good bet, I'm not really a betting man, but a good bet is a City win, Welbeck to score, yeah? Now, that would be a nice little bet, yeah? And you know what? If you are going to bet responsibly. Yeah, and like G would say, if you can't afford it, don't fling your money down. You get me? All right. Chelsea now, fourth in the league against Arsenal. This is a Sunday, 4:30 kickoff. Chelsea lying fourth in the league, Arsenal lying fifth. Cole Palmer could be doubtful for this one. Sancho could get a squeeze. He's not played since mid-October due to illness. I don't know what kind of illness he's had, but yeah, something to him anyway. Arsenal now, they've dipped a little bit. Arsenal going through a little bit of a bad patch. Rice Ice Baby could be back in contention after nursing an ankle injury, and Odegaard did a little cameo as a sub against Inter. Sterling can't feature because against his parent club. So that's a bit of a pity about that one. So you know, I've not really put any scores on these. I'm not going to sit on the fence neither. I did say, you know, Sheffield United 4, Sheffield Wednesday 1, because, you know, there's a team what are going to get a good hiding against United, and, you know, obviously home advantage and everything. People might say, do you know what, league form, it'll go out the window for this one. Sheffield United current line, like I said, in second in the table. Owls 15th. But it's going to be a good one. Some people may say this is hard to predict, but I can just see kind of it's just that defence of Wednesday, which will be a big concern for me. Like I said, they've leaked in 24 goals, and United have leaked in 7 all season. So they're going to have to do something special if they're going to come away from Bramall Lane with 3 points. I just can't see that. But I can see a 4-1 scoreline. And I'll tell you who's in line to get a lot of stick. That Max Lowe. And again, I've had this discussion with Mo. I said, you know what? Didn't really fancy Max Lowe at United. I thought it was a bit of liability. No disrespect to him. He put on a red and white shirt. Not every player just fits it for me. And for all the other 20-odd thousand fans also as well. It was a tryer. Made a few interceptions, but not really a player. But if you look at Burrows now, compared to Max, there is none. It's gone out the window. So I've mentioned the danger players. Burrows is one of them. Raksaki, Souza, Cooper, all players to listen out for. And Sheffield Wednesday, their best threat is just soaking it up. They'll be time wasting. They'll try to get the crowd a bit jeery and stuff. Tactics. Do you know what I mean? Falling down, you know, pretending that it hurts, you know, when somebody's pulled the shirt or something like that. You know what I mean? Trainer coming on. All them kind of stupidness, yeah? And that could really spoil it for me. But hopefully we'll have a good ref who will be, you know, on his game. You know, yeah, there's going to be yellow cards. Do you know what I mean? It's going to be obvious that's going to happen. It is a physical game. So yeah, 4-1, I'm sticking to that. Brighton, Man City, like I said, Brighton 8th in the league, Man City second. I'm not going to predict a score, but what I'm going to say is City to win, Welbeck to bust a goal. I like that as a bet. Might even get a visit from me, Willie Mill, tomorrow. So yeah, I think that sounds a quite tasty bet actually. And then we've got Chelsea against Arsenal. This one's going to be really, really tight. I'll go for a 1-1. Arteta will not want to lose this one. Neither Chelsea, neither, but it's going to be a good battle. It should be a good entertaining game for a neutral. So I'll go for 1-1 for that. Well, listen, 18:59, my time's done. Hope you've enjoyed the ride, and hope you'll join us next year. I'm going to leave you with this one, Stone Live in the background, Sweet Talking Sport. I'm out of here.
just by